So Philippians chapter 2, reading from verse 5 through to verse 16. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being very in nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour for nothing. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you very much, Paul. Lovely. Okay. If we could have number two up there. Thank you. Is that working? Lovely. Becoming children of God. By the way, do you like my lectern here? Don't tell too many, but it actually belongs to Gold Hill, but they haven't sussed that I've still got it. Okay, so don't tell anyone. All right. Yes, it's a sin. It's a sin. We shouldn't have it. The other day, I went for a walk. We'd had a wonderful but busy morning at Toddlers. And I was going to spend the afternoon beginning to think about this topic this morning. So I needed a bit of a break. I needed to go for a walk in order to clear my head. So I was walking where we live, and I was going through these verses that we've just read in my mind. I was just going over them and saying, Lord, you know, what is it that you would like to say to us for this morning? And I had my dog with me, but she was behind. So as I was walking along, thinking these wonderful thoughts, I looked round just to check what she was doing and to check that she was following me. And as I looked round, what do you think I saw? Rolling. Rolling in goose poo.
Lovely.
Lovely. So there was I, wanting to have these beautiful thoughts. And I look round and my dog is doing something quite disgusting. Anybody else's dog do the same? I think it's all dogs do. It's quite a thing, isn't it? Fox poo and all sorts of other lovely things. And as I looked, I thought, who taught her to do that? I certainly hadn't taught her. And actually, she's only 7 months old, and I'd never seen her do it before. Our previous dog had done it many times, but I'd never seen her do it before. Who taught her to do it? I'm sure, absolutely positive, that she hadn't seen any other dog do it and think, hey, that looks fun, I'm going to do that too. Who taught her to do it? And of course, the answer to that question is nobody taught her. It's almost in their DNA, isn't it? As you say, every dog seems to do it. They do it by nature. It's something they just do. It's quite disgusting, but they do it by nature. The Bible says that we are sinful by nature. We are sinful by nature. Let me just get this working. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 talks about our sinful flesh. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 talks about our earthly nature. And Galatians chapter 5 speaks about the sinful desires of our flesh. And all of those things go on to describe that how these things, our sinful flesh, our earthly nature, and the sinful desires of the flesh, how these things are hostile towards God, how they produce sinful behavior in us, and how they desire what is contrary to what the Holy Spirit desires. I'm really sorry to say, but in the same way that Lottie, my golden retriever, seems to have a natural gravitation, a natural inclination towards rolling in fox poo, you and I have a natural desire, a natural inclination towards sin, towards some of these things that we were writing on the board at the very beginning. Charles Spurgeon said, "As the salt flavours every drop in the Atlantic, so does sin affect every atom of our nature. It is so sadly there, so abundantly there, that if you cannot detect it, you are deceived." So we gravitate, we have an inclination towards sin by nature, by our fallen nature, by the very people that we are becoming, by the people that the world that we were born into. But the Bible also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. And in Romans 6, Paul's declared, we have been set free from sin. So as well as there being the bad news in the scriptures, we are by nature inclined to sin. Actually, there's the good news in scripture that says, actually, we've been born again. We have a new nature. We are in Christ. We are a new creation. That old has gone. The new has come. When we put our faith in Jesus, we receive a new nature. And we receive the Holy Spirit who lives in us, both the new nature and the Holy Spirit who lives in us desire God's way. Romans 8 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So when we are born again, this battle erupts in our lives. It's not been a battle before. But once we come to faith in Christ, when we are born again, this battle erupts in our lives. A battle between the ungodly desires of our sinful nature, which continues, does it not, to be present in our lives, and the God-pleasing desires of the new nature that we have been given. And Paul, you'll be very familiar, I'm sure, with this. Paul famously talks about and illustrates this battle that is going on inside himself. He says this, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Anybody relate to that? Once or twice a day, perhaps. And he goes on to say, I find this law at work in me. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. He's talking about this battle. And he goes on, in my inner being, I delight in God's law. I'm sure you do, as I do today. I delight in God's law. I love God's word. And I say, yes, Lord, I love you. And I want to honour you and I want to please you. I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. No wonder at the end he says, what a wretched man I am. What a wretched man I am. And so this battle going on. Am I right in thinking that most of us experience that? That is our experience, that we battle with the old nature, the old way of being, and yet we want to do what is right. And we have this battle going on inside us. And it's into that sort of conflict that the Apostle Paul writes the book of Philippians. He doesn't set out to write them a theological treatise about the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Although in verses 6 to 11, as Paul read out, he produces one of the finest statements written about Jesus Christ that there has ever been. But he doesn't set out to write a theological treatise of who Jesus is. He sets out to write a pastoral letter, a loving letter, a kind letter to his children in the faith. Because they were struggling to live the Christian life. And he wanted to help them. In verse 14 to 16, let's just have a look at those verses. Verses 4 to 16, Philippians 2. He says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish. That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labour in vain. At one level, of course, every child, every woman, every man bears the image of God and can therefore be thought of as a child of God. In a special way, however, we become a child of God when we put our faith in Jesus, don't we? Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, or is it a little bit later, verse 12? John writes, yet to all who receive Christ, to those in who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So every human being who, in some way, albeit marred, bears something of the image of God, every human being can be thought of in that sense as a child of God. But in a very special and a very real way, we become children of God when we put our faith and our belief in Jesus Christ. So what does Paul mean when he says we are to become children of God? If that is already what we are, what does Paul mean by saying we are to become children of God? Well, when we are made a child of God through faith in Jesus, we become part of the family. But we do not, at that point, do we, share the family likeness. His likeness in us is marred, is broken, is damaged. So Paul says, having been saved, we are to become like him. Not, of course, in our outward appearance, but in the way we are and in the way that we live. There's some examples of this from Jesus. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. And of course, he's saying there, if you love your enemies, if you love those and pray for those who persecute you, you will be like your Father. Because that's what the Father does. The Father loves those who even hate him and persecute him and his people. And so it's about family likeness. If we adopt those things, if we love our enemies, if we pray for those who persecute us, then we are behaving like our Father's children. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, be imitators of God. Imitate God, therefore, as dearly loved children. How many of us would love it? Although I can't imagine in my own situation if our children always did exactly what we did and what we wanted them to do. Because sometimes my example has not been good. So I want my children to do as I say, not do as I do. But our Heavenly Father wants us to do as he says, as well as do as he does. Do as he does. Imitate God, Paul is saying. And then when you imitate God, when you behave like God, you will be showing yourselves to be his children. You will be becoming his children. And brothers and sisters, brought this morning, at the beginning of this year, in a sense today for me, because we've had all sorts of things and I've been away for a bit and so on and so forth. But for me, this feels a little bit like the beginning of the year. I know we're into February already and I'll catch up with the rest of you. But for me, in a sense, it feels like the beginning of the year. And I brought it this morning because I think this is a most urgent matter that we need to attend to. In Christ, you and I have been raised to the position of a child of God. Therefore, surely it should be our desire to live up to that high calling. To live our lives in such a way that says, yes, I'm not just a child of God in name, but I'm a child of God in nature and in character. And I feel it's a most urgent thing for us to attend to. Four or five times in the Old Testament, and then the Apostle Peter, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, picks it up as he writes his letter, and he says, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. We're called to be holy. And I believe we need to repent of all our unholiness, of our unholy attitude, our unholy speaking, our unholy thinking, our unholy doing. We need to go back to God and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry for the way sometimes I feel. I'm sorry for the anger that seems to be in here, but it doesn't take very much to come out. I'm sorry sometimes for the way I speak to people. I'm sorry for the way I think about my brother and sister in Christ, or I'm sorry for the way I think about my neighbour. Lord, these are ungodly things. This is not the way Jesus thinks. And I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. For the attitude that I have, for the way I speak, for the way I am sometimes, for the way I conduct myself. If this is going straight over your head, then consider it as a confession. These are the things that I have to deal with. I have to say, Lord, that's not the way Jesus does things. And I want to be like Jesus. I want to become a child of God in my Father's likeness, in my greater brother's likeness. Forgive me. For these things, and help me to become holy. So I think we need to take this again every day, don't we? And not just in a way of, well, I just want to be cleansed for today. But repentance, of course, means turning right around. So it's a case of saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me not to do that again. Help me not to speak in that way. Help the anger not to rise up. Help me not to think badly about other people in that way. So we need to come again to repentance for our holy ways, and we need to focus again on becoming blameless and pure children of God without fault in this generation. I say this not to make anyone feel guilty, but to reflect on my own life and indeed the life of the church here and the life of the church elsewhere. But to say, brothers and sisters, we have a high calling. Because through faith in Jesus, you and I are children of God. Hallelujah. Let us only, as Paul says later in the book of Philippians, I believe chapter 2, maybe chapter 3, he says, but let us live up to what we have already attained. So that's my hope, that's my prayer for my life and for our lives as believers, as followers of Jesus and as a church. And do you know the vast majority of the New Testament is written to help followers of Jesus lead pure and blameless lives? The instruction to go and witness and evangelize and so on, which are rightly there, but they are minuscule in terms of the quantity of the New Testament. The vast majority of the whole of the New Testament is to help believers live pure and blameless lives. The great missionary leader of the last century, Leslie Newbegin, Methodist bishop, said, and evangelist in India and in other parts of the world, he said this: the only true preaching of the gospel is a group of women and men who live by it, who believe it, and live by it. That is not to say that we don't share the gospel verbally at any given moment. I listened to David Maguire at the beginning of the year, and I was blown away by it. I agree with everything he said. What a fabulous teaching he gave on that day. What a fabulous encouragement. And I agree with him that we are to take every opportunity to share the good news, the gospel. But Newbegin also knew that truly transformed lives witness far more powerfully than the words we speak. In fact, we can speak and speak and speak, but unless our lives match, our words will fall on deaf ears. So this is a really vital issue about becoming holy. And in these verses that we've been reading, I think the Apostle Paul suggests how we might do that. How he wants us to become children of God. And I think in these verses he suggests how we might do that. And what I want to do now is just mention them. I'm literally going to just mention them and highlight them in your scriptures, because I want to come back to these time and again over these next few weeks, possibly months. We'll see where it takes us. But to think, how do we become? How do you and I today, in all the situations of our lives, how do we become pure and blameless children of God that shine as lights in a dark and depraved generation? How do we do that? And I think Paul suggests three things here, and I'm just going to mention them now. Firstly, by following Jesus's example. Verse 5. What does verse 5 at the beginning of that wonderful exposition of who Jesus is? Verse 5, chapter 2, verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. In other words, and then he goes on to say what Jesus has done. And I think one of the ways that we become like Jesus is literally to follow his example. Now that demands a lot. How do we reflect on Jesus' life? How do we look at Jesus' life and look at his example? And then how do we do that? I think we can call that imitation. We're called to be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Secondly, I think we are to allow the Holy Spirit to make us holy. Look at verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And so Paul is saying, you know, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, isn't he? The Holy Spirit who lives in us and works in us in order to to change our will and to work for his good pleasure. The passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, which talked about how we contemplate the Lord's glory with unveiled faces. We contemplate the Lord's glory and we are changed, but from one degree of glory to another. And this, he says, by the Spirit. So the Spirit lives in us. And I want us to really think about the life of the Holy Spirit in us and his changing, transforming of us and leading and empowering of us. I think verse 13 talks about allowing the Holy Spirit to make us holy. I think we call that sanctification. We've already sung about it. That sanctification is that process of being made holy. And thirdly, just as a heading, we need to train ourselves. Verse 12 says this, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I want us to note that although verse 12 obviously comes before verse 13, actually you will note that it is the action of verse 13 flows out of, or the action in verse 12 flows out of the action in verse 13. It comes the other way round. It should go like this. God is changing you inside by his Spirit. Therefore, you are to work out your salvation. You are to put what the Holy Spirit is doing in you into action, into your lives. You are to work out your salvation. You have been saved, but now you've got to work that out in order to become a child of God. And I would like to call this renovation. I'm not trying to be clever, but I've got those three things. How do we become? Paul is saying to the church in Philippi, become children of God. How do we become children of God? By imitation, by sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit, and by renovation. And brothers and sisters, it's my real prayer for myself and for you that as we seek to imitate our beautiful Saviour, Jesus Christ, as we invite the Holy Spirit to sanctify us more and more by transforming the deepest and sometimes most entrenched parts of our lives, as we take responsibility to renovate our own lives, we shall increasingly experience the joy of what it means to become a pure and blameless child of God. We'll enjoy that process of being transformed into the likeness of Christ and into being living lives that bring pleasure and glory to our Father. So I just wanted to take this morning to introduce those themes, and we'll take individual, we'll dart between them. How do we imitate Christ? How do we get to know him so well? How do we contemplate him? What does it mean to do that in order that we might imitate him? What does it mean to really allow the Holy Spirit into the deep parts of our lives to change us so that we are different? What does it mean? And what do we open up to him? And then renovation, the responsibility that we have. We don't just leave this up to the Holy Spirit. We are responsible. I choose every moment, although the Holy Spirit is changing me, I choose to think one way or another about another person. I choose how I'm going to speak to that person. Let's not say this is somebody else. Let's not sing, "Purify my heart, Lord." Although we can say that and he'll do it, I think actually the Lord says, no, you purify your own. You purify your own heart. You purify your own thinking. You purify your own lives. Yes, it's a partnership between what God does by his Spirit, but the choices I make. And we've got, how do we go about that process? How do we change our lives? Last week, a few of us shared about our trip to Ghana. And I was left asking the question, what can we learn from the Ghanaian church? And my conclusion is that we should not seek to be shaped by African culture. Amen? Well, that was a bit mute. Perhaps we ought to. Perhaps we ought to be. Lucy, Should we be a bit more, yeah, changed by African church culture? I wouldn't mind it. But in the same way as saying I don't think we need to be shaped by African culture, I don't think the church should be shaped by British culture either. But we need to be shaped by the culture of heaven, which is neither... The culture of heaven is not British. I know. I know. That doesn't mean to say there are, our culture is completely bad. But let's not think that we in Britain have got it all correct. It's not even Brazilian, although I love the Brazilians. And, or Jamaican. Well, I'd love a bit of Jamaican in, you know, or South African. What was that, Scottish? But it is Scottish, isn't it? You're not going to tell me it's not Scottish. The kingdom of heaven is Scottish. You know what I'm trying to say? I've come back from my trip to Ghana with that reflection, and it ties in with this word, that we're not to be shaped by African church culture. We're not to be shaped by British church culture. You and I and this church are to be shaped by the culture of heaven. We're going to do things. We're going to become children of God because that is what God wants us to be. He has made us his children through faith in Christ. We've got to be transformed into what that looks like. And we've got to do that through the person of Jesus, through the Word of God, through the indwelling work and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and through personal discipline, through the renovation of our lives, by choosing day by day to be like Jesus, to think like Jesus, to do like Jesus, to drive. Anyway, I won't go there. That's too challenging. He did. Paul says in chapter 3 of Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven. We are becoming children of God, citizens of heaven. None of us are there yet, but it is a matter of utmost importance, I believe. We are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So let us seek to become children of God, who are being changed from one degree of glory to another. Let us not think that we have already obtained all this, or having been made perfect, but let us press on to make it our own, because Christ Jesus has made us his own. Amen.